So there are 42 days until Christmas. That's according to daysuntilchristmas.org or .co.uk. Who knew there'd be a website giving days until Christmas? I don't know how that makes you feel. I'm sure if we asked Daniel and Poppy, they would be really excited and looking forward to it. They already told you what they want for Christmas. And oh yeah, well there you go. It's almost wishing it away, isn't it? Early in my time with Dayspring, one of the local ministers arrived at the December's minister lunch that we used to host. He'd obviously had a frustrating morning because he asked as he sat down, can we agree to cancel Christmas this year? Christmas can be hectic, can't it? I mean, one year Toby was in Key Stage 1, Sophie was in Key Stage 2, Isabella was in Key Stage 3. There was the Key Stage 1 Nativity, the Key Stage 1 Christingle, Key Stage 2 concert. Isabella was in the panto at what was then John Bentley. Toby was in Beavers. Isabella and Sophie were in Guides and Brownies. There were services for each of those. And if I remember rightly, Sophie was doing synchro, so there was the Christmas display. And each night in December, it seemed to be, the question seemed to be, what is the event tonight? Who's got to be there? Who's going with them? And that was before we even got to the 10 days from just before Christmas to just after New Year, when you're juggling visiting family and friends and seem to be traveling to all points of the compass. And then you get individual differences. So in response to the commercialization of Christmas, I like to keep it confined to December and not to think about it before then. Sue prefers to get all the preparation done by the end of November. So the cards written, the year Toby was due to be born in December, the cards were written by the end of August. So she gets the cards written, the presents bought and wrapped, the food ordered and bought and in the freezer and so on. And then the aim there, I did actually write in my talk that the aim was so that she was ready for Christmas by the end of November and could enjoy the build up to Christmas through December. When Sue read the talk, she said it was more to cope with the build up and what was going on. And so early in our marriage, questions like, what should we give your parents for this Christmas that arrived in October, really floored me until I understood that. How do we keep sight of the reason for the season? How do we help those around us to do the same? Just this week, as Sue was walking home, a neighbour stopped her and said, how do you stop Christmas getting out of control? As the blessing says, do we have the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, possibly I've nailed that one, and the obedience of Mary and Joseph? And how do we live that out so that others can see it? We often talk about Christmas being a time of love, joy and peace. With the war in the Ukraine, the cost of living crisis, 3 prime ministers in as many months, and the approaching element of climate change, people more than ever need to hear about a Jesus who loves them and the joy, the peace and the hope he promised if they follow him. There's a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of doom and gloom around at the moment. The angel said to the shepherds when telling them about the birth of Jesus, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Eagerly the shepherds went to see Jesus, and having found it just as they've been told, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about the child. And when all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had to say to them. Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him, asked the wise men arriving in Jerusalem. And on consulting the priests and the scribes, Herod was told that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, quoting this prophecy from Micah. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. And then, of course, in John 1, we have that beautiful passage referring to Jesus as the Word and the Light. He is God, he has been with God since the beginning of time, and through him all things were created. He's the true light that darkness cannot overcome, and he gives light to us all. And if we receive him and believe in him, in his name, he gives us the right to become God's children. That's whose birth we're celebrating. How do we keep that front and centre at Christmas? And how do we point family and friends and neighbours and work colleagues to that? Right, I've asked a couple of people to come up and we're going to find out what they're doing. So Peter, do you want to come up and join me? See if I can find my notes. There we go. Where did this? Oh, here it went. Oops. Shouldn't put the microphone in my back pocket, really, should I? So, tell me some of the things, Peter, that you're that you've done for your neighbours in the last 6 months.
Hedge cutting. Quite a few hedge cuts I've done. Bush trimming. Lawn mowing.
Yeah, great.
And, removing ivy from a fence, a very big fence, lots of ivy, been going there for about 20 years. Wow, never seen ivy like it.
I can imagine. We've got some ivy just growing up our house and I keep ripping that down every couple of years and that seems to take me a while. So why do you do this?
Well, in many ways, it's the way I've brought up. My parents were Christians. And grandparents beforehand, and we had a largest family, and it's the way that we worked in the community, part of the church and the community, way of being, helping each other and helping others, and I seem to have kept on doing that.
Right, well, that's great. Do you see that it is also a way of showing your neighbours the love of Jesus?
Well, yes, because I love Jesus, so yes, I'm showing them the love of Jesus, but I don't have much opportunity to talk to them about the love of Jesus when I'm mowing a lawn or cutting a hedge.
Well, there is that, yeah. Although Carl Beach, who heads up Christian Vision for Men, talks about how the best way men communicate is when they're shoulder to shoulder. So actually sitting across from each other isn't natural for men. So going on a bike ride or going on a run together or doing a job together is a great way for men to have conversation. So you do a lot of this stuff for your neighbours. Has helping them and showing the love of Jesus maybe enabled you to invite them to an outreach event or to a spiritual conversation?
Yeah, definitely inviting to outreach events, but that's... when we used to do cabaret, neighbours have come. So it does enable that to happen, yeah.
Yep. Okay, excellent. So you're doing these acts of kindness, you're helping people, and you are beginning to see that there are opportunities to take the conversation further that. Yeah. So what one or two things could we pray for you over the coming months with this?
For me to have conversations, I'm not the sort of person that chats easily, so yeah.
That's unfair. So just to pray that you'll have opportunity for conversations and a boldness to maybe take that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Right, thank you, Peter. That's great. So, Helen, do you want to come up? So, Peter there is doing what they call acts of kindness. He's helping people. I find it fascinating that he feels he was brought up that way within that, and it was something that his parents and grandparents and church and family have done. For me, it was a new thing when, you know, I grew up in the church and had parents who loved Jesus and things, but it really was a new thing and opened my eyes with acts of kindness. But that's great. So, Helen, you're... I'll give you that.
Thank you.
You've decided to, or are taking the carol service at Fairways this year. So how did that come about?
Well, there is a carol service at Fairways every year. Last year, I found it less than inspiring through a kind of perfect storm of circumstances. So I just wasn't prepared to see that happen again. So I offered to do it. So it's not any kind of, you know, massive word from God or anything. I just wanted it to be done right. So yeah, as early as last December, I think it was, I spoke to Rosie and Marion and said, if I did that next year, would you help me? And they said yes. And if you haven't seen it, by the way, I did put a little note in the Dayspring WhatsApp and asked for any volunteers. And so we are now Rosie, Marion, Carol and me. So there's room for more if anyone is if anyone is available on the 7th of December at the strange time of 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I didn't pick that time, it was given to me. So that will limit who's available, but if you'd like to join us, please do.
Right, that's brilliant. I really love the fact that having been less than inspired, you didn't decide to boycott it, but you actually stepped in to do something that was more inspiring. I think that's fantastic. So what will the event look like this year?
It'll just be a very traditional carol service with, you know, a lot of carols and a reading or two. It's not yet quite decided because I'm a last-minute merchant, which must be very frustrating for Carol and Marion, who are good organisers. Anyway, the people will be sitting around the tables in the bistro, so it'll be quite like the connections thing mm-hmm. that we used to do. We've got Marion on the piano, and we'll just lead them in singing.
Brilliant.
Just quite mm-hmm. simply.
And what are your hopes for the event?
Well, just really that people will be blessed, mainly. I mean, you know, it would be lovely if the Christmas message touched someone's heart and, you know, brought them closer to God. In a way, it's almost inevitable, isn't it? You know? But there's no hard sell involved. Mm.
No, that's great. And I think you're right. You don't want the hard sell, but it's drawing them in and touching them. So how can we pray for you and for the event?
Pray for Marion's hands. Apparently her hands are suffering at the moment. But she did a wonderful job on, was it Friday? We had our first rehearsal on Friday and she did a wonderful job and I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Just the four of us, but we really enjoyed it. And pray for Marion's hands, pray that we'll all stay well and none of us will lose our voices. And also the practicalities of, there's a piano in the bistro, but I don't know when it was last tuned. So our next rehearsal will be in the bistro, working out whether the piano is serviceable. So you could pray for that as well. Then just pray for the people that we don't get hit with COVID and get cancelled. And, you know, that the usual number of people, which is quite a lot of people, will attend and will be blessed.
Okay, brilliant. Well, we'll look forward to hearing how that goes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Helen. So last week, I believe that Rolf talked about his friend from work. Mutual interest in music meant that their friendship became more than just that of work colleagues. And Rolf's faithfulness in praying for the friend led him to giving the friend a holding cross and encouraging him to attend an Alpha course. And as Carol's mentioned today, the friend and Rolf were away on the Holy Spirit weekend and this weekend. So, question for you then. If you want to get into groups of threes and fours, what are you planning to do this year, or have you done in the past, to show your friends, family, neighbours, work colleagues, the love of Jesus at Christmas? 2 minutes, 3 minutes, into groups. Right, if we can start drawing the conversations to a close. Be good to hear from each of the groups, some of the things that are going on. So, Helen, Tony, Peter, you were in a group. What, any? Obviously, Helen, we know you're doing a Carol event. Other bits that are going on?
Family, neighbours.
Family, neighbours. What specific? Any? What specifically, or just reaching out to them?
Well, I mean, we know that Peter and Marion are very active in their community.
Yep.
More of the same. Tony's with family. He was just saying none of them, you know the Lord or even want to. So,
right, okay. So it's praying for openings and spiritual conversations. Yeah. Wendy, at the back, your group? Okay. Or you just had a general discussion, did you? Oh, I might take you up on that. Right, okay.
Then we usually have some sort of Christmas event of some kind.
Yep, yep.
Church.
Yeah, yeah, you have, yep, that's true. Good. This group here?
Steve.
Right,
really
brilliant.
Because he goes from like, at least a day with some people to just a week of nothing. So that really we're saying about sort of sharing with neighbours and inviting people. I knew lots of people who get involved in the hampers and things at Christmas. So
I think that's really, really, it is difficult, isn't it? Because we're all involved with family quite often at Christmas, and there are people who are on their own, and actually to find time to be able to invite them and include them in stuff is fantastic. That's great. Simon, Roy, Sasha, anything for you?
Yeah, Steve just mentioned Hampers Day. That just came to me that it's a wonderful way of showing up. Christ to others is by the Hampers system. But our only useful input was from Sasha.
Sasha. Okay, brilliant.
It's interesting what you said, it's demonstrating the love, so I'll take that on board and try and think what else to do.
Yeah. But getting our attitude right and our place right, I think, is sort of the foundation of it and the underpinning of it. And really think you're very, I don't know whether I'd go as far as making my social media all about Jesus is the reason for the season, so well done. That's great. Nigel, anything from your... Making sure what, sorry?
Family.
So hamper box and family. Hampers are a great way, isn't it, to show the love of Jesus, to help people, as is, you know, with Emma talking about the Delhi School and giving money to people who are a lot poorer than we are and a lot harder off, and actually being able to support them. They're great ways. Excellent. Lots of great ideas there and things, so that's great. When I was a teenager, my Urban Saints leader asked the question, which is more important, Christmas or Easter? And my first thought was, who for? As the leader pointed out, for Christians, it is Easter. His justification was being, look at how many chapters in the Gospels there are on Easter compared to the Christmas story. But despite the best efforts of Cadbury's and their cream egg, for our friends, family, work colleagues and neighbours who don't know Jesus, Christmas is bigger. And it's the point, probably, when they draw nearest to Jesus. If you like, it is their fin place. For one of the key Stage 2 concerts at Holy Trinity, one of the teachers who usually organised it was also great with child. The school decided to have the concert several weeks earlier than usual, in case the baby came early. And they took the opportunity to focus the concert not on the Christmas story, but on the prophecies and the Old Testament passages that foretold the coming of Jesus. And at the time, I thought it was a brilliant event. And for many of the children and the parents, it may have been the first time that they heard passages and found out there was more than just a stable and some shepherds and wise men. One Christmas, Sue invited friends and neighbours for a meal on the evening of Christmas Eve. And when giving the invite, she said that we were going to go to St Mary's before the meal for their crib service. And if people would like to come with us, they could join with us then, or they could just come to the meal. And each year, St Mary's Carn, it'll be interesting whether they do it this year because their vicar's moved on, but each year St Mary's Carn have done a fantastic crib service later in the afternoon on Christmas Eve. The church is always packed. If you turn up last knockings, you'll be standing at the back. It has the usual carols and readings, but it also has a drama, which usually involves puppets, and it tells the Christmas story, or there's a story about Christmas. And so our neighbours joined us at the service, and we had a good time with them and our friends at the meal. And a year or two later, when I was chatting to this neighbour shortly before Christmas, he commented how much he had enjoyed the crib service and the fact that this Christmas they were also going to go to it. And thinking back on it now, I think I probably missed an opportunity. It may have been that we were going to go down to my parents in Maidstone so we wouldn't be around, but maybe I should have offered to go with them. I'm always amazed who is at the crib service. A mum of one of Isabella's friends commented to Sue that this was the beginning of their Christmas. Everything was organised, the family who were visiting had turned up, and they all went together as a group to the crib service. I would be very surprised if those friends ever attended church the rest of the year, except for christenings, weddings and funerals. And yet they're there at the crib service, it's the start of their Christmas. Much of the funding that Open Blue receives has a stipulation that it can't be used for the advancement of religion. We're happy to work with that because we believe that we're showing the love of Jesus when we deliver opportunity to communities struggling with rural poverty and isolation. I can talk about my faith if people ask me why I'm doing what I do. I can pray for those that we're helping. I can wait for the promptings of the Spirit and look for opportunities of spiritual conversations opening up. But at Christmas, I have the chance to be more overt than that. We can play Christmas carols, we can read Christmas stories, we can do craft that's based around the Christmas story. I don't know whether you see the work Christmas event as something to be endured or a chance to let your hair down. I generally enjoy the opportunity to see people in a different context and get to know them better. The CBLC Christmas meal is something that I actually look forward to. One year I had a long chat with one of the trustees about being a church leader, about Dayspring, and about my faith. How might it change things if we approach these events with the attitude, I'm here for you, Lord. Who are you putting on my heart? What do you want to say to them? Tony has got to know someone who lives just around the corner from us. I won't say that we're close friends with that person, but we do stop and chat when we bump into them and catch up. And for Christmas 2020, we found that he was going to spend that Christmas day on his own, so much like Steve has found with his work colleague. And that was all because, if you remember, I think it was the Alpha variant, and everyone's Christmas plans were all thrown up in the air at that point. So we actually invited him to Christmas lunch with us. And then when Tony was helping me in the office, we got chatting and he mentioned, oh, I bumped into somebody that knows you, and it turned out to be this person. And I know just this last week that Peter and Tony went on a walk with this person. I'm always amazed and encouraged at how the Spirit works and draws people in. And then Peter, through his acts of kindness and doing stuff for people, has got to know that one of his neighbours enjoys walking. So as I understand it, the next time that they go for a walk, this neighbour's going to join with them as well. And so you've got a little group, you know, people with mutual interest forming and things. People responding to the promptings of the Spirit, small acts of kindness leading to relationships being built. Who knows where it will end? Christmas is often a time some of us catch up with family. Sue's dad is one of five, and the tradition up to this year has been for Sue's parents to host that side of the family on Boxing Day. When Sue and I first got together, she claimed that she was the quietest of all her aunts, uncles, and cousins. I don't know about that, but regularly there'd be over 30 gathered, and although numbers have dwindled more recently, as sadly aunts and uncles have died, are there members, I mean, Tony talked about it, didn't he, with members of his family. Are there members of your immediate family you long to see come to know Jesus? Is God putting one of them on your heart this Christmas? Do you go to family get-togethers over Christmas with the expectation that the Spirit may open the door to a spiritual conversation? And are you ready to take that? It's difficult with family, isn't it? And with good friends, because they may know what you believe. And with family, quite often we've been quite blunt at times about their need for Jesus. If we do that with good friends, quite often that's the end of the friendship. But where the relationship continues, it can be good, it can be caring, it can be a real support and encouragement. But talking about Jesus doesn't seem to come up. How do you move things forward? For me, I think it really is going back to listening for the promptings of the Spirit and obeying when we hear. Taking opportunity. If God's putting one of your family on your heart, pray. What do you want to say? Pray about that person and look for the Spirit to open up a conversation. So, what one thing would help you this Christmas show the love of Jesus to someone? In your groups again, quick discussion. Right. Shall we begin to draw back together? So, what thoughts did people have? Uh, I can pick on people if they want, but if you want to just shout them out, that
would... We could invite our neighbours in for a drink after Christmas to get to know them better.
Brilliant. That would
something
be great.
New.
Yeah. That's good. I would really encourage you to take that. We had a friends who, because of family circumstances, found it really difficult to come to the Day Spring Christmas events, and they said, we really like to go to a carol service, will you go with us to it? And so for a few years it was one of the things we planned in, was that on a Sunday evening we would go with them to one of the local churches for, and we tended to try and choose the ones that we knew wouldn't stint on the message and hit them with it. But if people are inviting you to go to things, join them. Yeah, that's good. Other ideas or things that would help you? Yeah, no, I agree. It's I've talked to the story before, but after my experiences working for the summer after my first year at university and the company that sponsored me, and how my faith had come out, I then, during coming up to my year out, I was actually praying, Lord, I want to be a good witness. I want to share my faith. And it was amazing. Within the first 2 hours of being there, I was talking about the fact that I was a Christian and what my faith meant to me, which was something that was a theme through the year. So actually, it's amazing when we show willingness and we pray and ask God how things seem to open up. So I know Dave's looking at time, so we will hurry up and finish. in preparing for this talk and thinking of my experiences, I feel I've missed it more often than I've got it right. The neighbour who we invited to Christmas dinner, what else could we have done? Did he have Christmas on his own last year? The neighbour who enjoyed the crib service, could it have become a regular thing? I just talked about some friends who we went to carol services with for a couple of years. Sadly, that petered out. Why? I can't really remember. I don't really remember why. But if I dwell too much on what I've missed, then I'll end up not doing anything. And so it's a case of coming to Jesus, talking to him about it, asking for forgiveness where the Spirit points up things that I've messed up, and then saying, here I am, Lord, send me when the call comes again. So I'd really encourage you this Christmas, despite all the commercialization of it, to be looking for ways to show people the love of Jesus. I think it starts with us getting our attitude about Christmas right. Let's embrace it with all its faults, and then look to point to people to Jesus and his love for them and the hope and joy and peace that he can bring them. If you don't know where to start, then ask God, who are you putting on my heart? What do you want to say to him? And then simply obey. And then tell another Christian about it. I find that a bit difficult. It feels like boasting, doesn't it? But I think, you know, I know when I hear stories that it really encourages me. And it gives people ideas. And if that person is encouraged, then you can ask them to pray for the person and for what's next. And then this is the bit I find difficult. It's just a case of repeating that. If you like, ask, obey, repeat. So it might be a simple act of kindness that in time leads to a spiritual conversation, which, as Rolf has shown, results in someone seriously exploring what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. We have to go at the pace of those we're reaching. And no one knows better that pace than the Spirit. So actually following his promptings is the key to it all. Right, let's just pray and then we will call it the end. Father, I pray that you'll help us this Christmas. I pray that we will have that childlike excitement about it. The fact that we're celebrating the birth of your Son, the fact that you sent your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into the world and all that it meant for us. And I pray that we will remember that this Christmas. Father, I pray that you'll be with Helen and the carol service. Thank you for her willingness to step up. And I pray that Marion will find that she can play the piano and there's no pain, that the piano will be tuned, and that the event itself will be something that brings glory to you, points to Jesus who loves people and wants to bring joy, peace and hope to them at this Christmas. Pray too for Peter. Thank you for his willingness, the acts of kindness that he shows to his neighbours, and how I know that's resulted in conversations, and the fact he's got a friend that's going to be walking with Tony, and pray that that friendship and relationship will build, and that will be conversations about you in it, Lord. So Father, I just pray that you'll be with us, you'll bless us, that you'll be putting someone on our heart this Christmas, that you'll show us ways and give us opportunities to point to Jesus at this Christmas, that we will find that we are having those spiritual conversations, and that we are seeing people respond, and that we are noticing those promptings from you, Lord. Amen. Thank you very much, guys. Do feel free to go and grab coffee, but just before you go, if this touched you or you feel that there are things you want prayer about, if you want help, if there's somebody on your heart or there's an issue you want prayer, then I'm happy to pray for you or go and speak to somebody else. I hope that God has spoken to you, and if there are things that you need prayer for out of that, then take the opportunity either to come to me or go to Helen or to Peter, or just grab one of the core team members or somebody in the church just to pray through that and move that on. Thank you.